finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You thought the twists in the Delphi case were over. Think again, because the latest court filing is a full-on legal thriller. Richard Allen's defense team has accused the state of Indiana of withholding exculpatory evidence, which they have in the past. They just go into great detail this time. Specifically, letters from an inmate suggesting that someone else confessed to the murders. Now, withholding evidence isn't just a legal issue. It's a psychological game, too. What happens when prosecutors, consciously or unconsciously, start believing in their own version of events so much that they suppress facts that don't fit? Is this just negligence, or could this be something deeper, like confirmation bias on steroids? Joining us today is psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott, an expert in this area, to help us unpack this from a psychological angle. Siobhan, when we see a pattern of behavior here, of withholding evidence in cases like this, which we've seen a lot in this case, is it always about winning at all costs? Is there something more insidious happening in the mind of someone involved? And I'm not specifically trying to single out McClelland or anybody in this. I'm just kind of talking more broadly. When you're on that one side of a case and you got to see it out, your job is to prosecute this. How easy do you think it is for prosecutors to get into that, you know, blindsidedness and just completely ignore facts that are potentially exculpatory for a defendant?
Wouldn't this be a good research study if somebody could figure out how to do it? How often does that happen? Because we've seen in other cases that it does happen, that whether it's conscious or simply confirmation bias, where they believe a story and then evidence be damned, you know, that comes up to contradict it. There does seem to be a mindset of winning regardless of what facts may say. And, you know, we've seen it over and over again in different cases all over the country, and it's really disturbing.
It is disturbing because, you know, you want to think, you know, that people who are in these fields, if you're a prosecutor, that you are going to be, you know, handling things on the up and up. If there's something exculpatory about a case, you're going to want to put it out there, especially if you don't have anything in the fight, which you shouldn't if you're the prosecutor on the case, or if you're a defense attorney. That's where you recluse yourself from it, recuse yourself from it, because it's too close to home. You could have a bias there. But if you supposedly don't have any sort of bias, how do people get into that state where they just keep going down a road where there could be an innocent person that's going to go away for the rest of their life, or has gone away for the rest of their life, because you didn't like the facts. They contradicted where you thought it should go.
Yeah, I think we run into the fallibility of the human mind sometimes. And we do tend to like, just speaking of all humans, we like stories. It simplifies life for us, you know, to get a version of what we think the truth is. And we see this playing out in our political system. We see it all over the place, right? People's beliefs about healthcare, medicine, vaccinations. It's like, I have a story. It makes me feel a certain way. I like the sense of, you know, that I've got the truth, and I'm going to stick to it regardless of what the facts say. And I think it's a human fallibility.
Excuse me. I had something to say, and then I breathed in, and I got to take a sip of water. Stand by, kids.
Okay.
That's interesting. The simplified life, where that is how we like to take things. It's how we like to perceive things. It's easier to digest. If things are more complicated, it makes my life more complicated. And people don't like complicated situations as a whole.
Yeah.
Is that a human thing, or is that more of a cultural thing, depending on where you are in the world? Is that an American thing, or is that something that we see in other areas as well, as strong as we do here? This desire for oversimplification, but it's more so a desire for the idea of things being oversimplified, even mm-hmm. when they truly are not.
Yeah, it's comforting. I think it's a human thing. I think we're kind of wired that way. You know, our brain lets us take shortcuts that makes life in many ways, at many times, more efficient. But unfortunately, it's not always based in reality. And that's when we see problems. But I think it's just part of the human mind to do it that way. Have a simple narrative, have a shortcut. And, you know, even when there are contradictory facts, oh, well, I just don't see that.
What happens, though, in a community like Delphi here? And I know this sort of stuff happens, you know, all over the country. This Delphi is the one we're talking about. When the public sees repeated instances of withheld evidence, if you're paying attention to the case, you'll find that because it's there. It's not like it's up for debate. There's so many things in this case that McClellan, the prosecutor, and the state, and Gull, and all that have just basically denied or said, nope, not important. You got to trust us. You got to trust us. It's not important. Mm-hmm. If you're of one mindset, and you know things are usually a little bit more complicated than just what they are, you want to know the answer. Well, why are you reacting this way? Why are you withholding this? Or why has this not come to light? But then you have a whole other set of the public that's like, no, they did their job. They did it right. And they just seem to have blinders on. And, you know, as I do sometimes, you stick your fingers in your ear like a child and go, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it, but it's still there. Mm-hmm. And these are adults. These are people that live in these communities. Let's talk about that. I mean, the mindset that it takes to be over here going, let's get more informed and let's figure out what's really going on here, versus it's much more comforting just to say we got somebody and now I can sleep better at night. Facts be damned.
Yeah.
Let's start with the first one on wanting to be more inquisitive. What is the difference in that person versus the other? Why is there such a difference in one's mindset versus another?
And that's another interesting thing about, you know, the differences among people. How many people are really critical thinkers? And that's another personality quality that I think you develop with it or you don't. And some people just like to put more thought into things. And sometimes when you have a community, they reinforce each other in this kind of tight-knit setting where everybody's telling themselves and other people the same story. And so it just becomes more in their minds, you know, the fabric of their reality.
Are we in a place where we have fewer critical thinkers than we did in the past? I mean, has that number dropped? I mean, I don't know if there's any study to that, but it sure feels like it. It sure feels like we're in a place where, you know, the groupthink really takes over a lot faster than it ever did in the past because we have more platforms to do that with. And it just seems like it's a lot quicker to go down a road and people convince themselves that they are critical thinkers when they're really not thinking of anything critically at all.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't see their own blind spots. And I do think that, the way we can choose the media we consume at this point, whether it's on the internet or however else we connect with people, it tends to be reinforcing. So, you know, when what we click on in the news is what we get more of, and people then get the same story, it reinforces it. They're around other people who believe the same way. It would be interesting if we could measure over time, has it gotten worse? My guess is it has.
Yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.